Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name's Terry Tackett, and at this point, it is now my distinct pleasure to turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hello, Terry. You know, I noticed from the monitor that behind me tonight, most people are seeing, if you're watching this live, that on the live stream, which it is live streamed at the Pastor Spot on Facebook. Good. But there is, let's see, skeletons, and it looks like Frankenstein and a few other things behind me, and kind of weird for the Pastor Spot, isn't it? But you know, but this is the studio. This is the studio, and everybody's ready to go, aren't they?
Yeah.
Good deal.
We're just trying to get in the spirit a little bit, you know, just a little bit.
A little
Halloween spirit.
Hey, I'm Pastor Steve Whitaker. I'm the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We were at 209 East Water Street. Our phone number is 740-494-2222. And our Sunday, our website is prospectccf.com. And, of course, we have our Sunday morning service is at 10:30. We have a Bible study hour prior to that. And Sunday evening service is 6:30. Youth group is at 6:30. Boy, they're going to have a great time this week. Last week they had a good time. These kids, what we're doing is every other week we have youth group at 6:30. And the kids go to a different place. And different people host it. And they have just been having a ball.
And is that the one where you said you incorporated the like the blind trip, like they don't know where they're
going? Yeah, they don't know where they're going.
The one time they went to the pond or something?
Yeah, well, we've kind of got it now to where they know where they're going that day.
Oh, okay.
But so a lot of them will go straight there. But they're just doing some fun stuff.
It sounds like it's amazing.
You know, they've been skating, they've been rowing, they've been swimming, they've been, you know, you name it, I think they've been doing it. And I don't know what Van Gundy's have planned for them this weekend, but that's where they're headed, and it ought to be a lot of fun.
Oh,
so,
man, that's great.
It's been a pretty good time lately. This next week, we'll be kicking off Team Kid again at the church on Tuesday at 6:30 to 8 o'clock. And that's for kids.
Oh, that's just starting. Is that right?
Yeah, just starting
for
the year.
Oh, let me write that down. Okay. I knew you were going to start that back up. Okay.
And it's every other week.
Okay.
And, of course, I'll be doing the at the same time. That particular the Team Kid is for kids that are from pre-elementary all the way up through sixth grade. And then the older kids come with me to Pizza with Pastor over at Sporty's. And we just have a kind of a roundtable talk time. And
now, Pastor, you say what, 6:30 to 8 on the Team Kid?
Yep, 6:30.
Okay. And then the pizza with the pastor is the same time?
Same time. Okay. Now, some nights we'll be holding that at the church, too.
Okay.
Or at the Mission House, which is behind the church.
Gotcha.
And ordering pizza.
Gotcha.
But we don't always go to Sporty's. It just depends on the night. But we do meet at the church first at 6:30.
Okay.
But I welcome parents and bring your kids, grandparents, whatever. Bring your kids, your grandkids. If you need a little break for an hour and a half, drop them off. They will be very well supervised and taken care of. But love to have you drop them off. The kids have a good time, and they love coming back. So those are some pretty neat things that are going on. Another thing coming up this weekend, last weekend was the I'm wearing my COSBA shirt, the Central Ohio Spina Bifida Association.
Your granddaughter, right?
Yes, Julia had her walk, run, roll over at Genoa at the park, and they had a 5K. And I got through 4 of the 5. Okay, I was just enjoying myself, and we had a good time. And Julia, actually, for her age group, Julia won the wheeled part of it.
Oh, wonderful.
She had the best time in the by a substantial amount. She's really good on her wheeled bike. She has a bicycle that pedals like so.
That was
provided by Roadrunner Sports when she was a representative for them a few years ago.
Wonderful.
Was their annual poster girl, so to speak.
Okay.
And now this weekend is the Nationwide Children's Hospital run downtown, and that is a marathon and half marathon. Is their annual Nationwide Children's Hospital marathon. And Julia is each mile marker, they have a cheering table and people that cheer them on, and they are patients, and patients and past patients. And Julia was picked to be mile marker 14, so she'll be at mile 14, cheering people on from that point. So she's really excited about that, and I know everyone's raised a lot of money for that, and it's just a really neat benefit. So that's kind of a cool thing this weekend.
Yeah. So, Pastor, tonight, what's on your mind tonight? So let's
see.
Just jump right in this head first tonight. So
okay, yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I mean, I know you've been pondering a couple things and doing a little research. So,
well, I'm always pondering things. Sometimes too many things. It keeps me up at night. You know, a lot of it is a lot of things have been bothering me lately. And we've talked about this so many times. I think that you guys know my heart for children. I just have a real heart for kids and a real heart for kids that are in abusive situations or in situations where they're sad. I don't like seeing kids sad. It just breaks my heart. I don't know why. I've been that way my entire life. I know Jesus said to suffer the little children to come unto me, for such as theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus loved children, so I guess I'm in good company. When you get on, you know, there's a lot of the and I put a post out there about this the other day. When you get on social media, there's all these sales sites. You know, we have like a Marion dollar items, or you know, I can't think of the name of it, but you know what I mean. Delaware buy, sell, and trade, that kind of things. And you go on there, and if you look at them, you can start picking them out. The people that are selling their kids stuff for drug money. You know, new toys, new clothes. Now, I'm not there's people that are legitimately doing that, don't get me wrong. But there are people that seem to follow that pattern, and it's a very common way for them to get money. You know, it's really sad. I think about that, and I think of, you know, a little kid that he's already, he or she has already lost their innocence to the addiction their parents have. And maybe grandma or grandpa has a birthday party for him and buys him a new coat or new shoes or a really nice toy, and they take it home. And within a day, mom or dad's got it on a website to sell to get money for drugs. Can you imagine how that kid feels? Really? See, those are the kind of things that go right through me. I can't handle it. And I pray for those kids. I lift them up to the Lord for His grace and mercy on their lives. And, you know, I wish people would try when they go on those sites to try and recognize and pick up the patterns of the people that are doing that and not patronize them, at all, because maybe it would slow down a little bit. But, I would never want to buy something that I knew was taken from some child that is going through that. But we see it every day. We see it all the time. We see these kids that lose. I see it every year in the school year, and we see it in all the schools where little kids, elementary school kids, will lose their parents to one or both parents, usually it's one, to an addiction and an overdose or you know, something just so tragic, and it's heartbreaking. I don't think sometimes that people understand the collateral damage and the damage they do. And what I mean by that is everyone always thinks, well, it's my body, it's my life. You've heard that line, you know. It's my business. You know what? The day that you bring another child into this world, it becomes their business too. And you have an obligation to take care of them. And you have an obligation to put them first, before yourself, and before anything else. And we see this stuff going on in around our country, where I hear all the problems we're trying to help people crossing the border. And I'll tell you, in that, you know, as Christians, we are supposed to love everyone and love those people at the border. And we do. But, you know, at the same time, there's legal things that we do in this country and illegal things. And you know, we need to sometimes take care of things in a legal manner to make sure they're done right. But while we're worrying about all this stuff and why our politicians are throwing mud back and forth and acting like a bunch of, I don't know what. I just don't know what anymore. I mean, I turn on the news. I don't know whether I'm watching the Three Stooges or you know what I mean? I mean, give them all a Pinocchio score and the nose is so long that they can't walk. I mean, and it's just crazy, the stuff that we see and we hear. And We're worried about all these things and what this person did and this person did. And, you know, that nothing like the pot calling the kettle black and the crook pulling the, you know what I mean? But here we got all these kids out there that are suffering. Why don't we put some attention towards that? Where's our heart and soul? You know, something I've learned is that when you're full of yourself, and a lot of people are full of themselves, when you're full of yourself, there is no room for anyone else because you're full. You see what I mean? And it's all about you. But if you can have compassion and begin to empty yourself for other people, all of a sudden you have room for all kinds of people and all kinds of compassion for those that truly need help. And man, they're out there. Obviously, you know, being a pastor, I talk to a lot of people. And I have a lot of people that call me when they have problems. And I see and I hear a lot of tears. And we just need to have more compassion, Terry. I mean, everyone does. Everyone's got problems. I don't want yours, you don't want mine. It's so easy to point a finger at other people. And
is that the remedy to the gist of a lot of the problems that you hear with? It's just if someone just would have shown compassion, it may be...
Well, you know, as a Christian...
Or is it a lot deeper than that? I mean...
As a Christian, my deepest desire is that they know Jesus because that's sure. Who saved me.
Right, okay.
And I know he can save them. But if we as Christians don't show that same love and compassion, people aren't going to listen anyway. You know what I mean? Yes. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to be a patsy. Ah. And that doesn't mean that we have to enable people to do bad things. That's not what it's about. We can't confuse the two.
So you're not an enabler. You're just, yeah.
Yeah, you need to be kind and compassionate.
You're just, so what's the thing? You're just lending an ear or a shoulder or something like that.
Let me give you an example, okay? Terry, say I find out that you are a, what kind of criminal can I make you? Let me think about this a minute.
Make me a bank robber.
Make you a bank. Say that you're a kleptomaniac.
Okay.
I find out that you go into stores and you steal things and you just can't seem to stop stealing things. Now, there's two ways I can handle that. I can say, man, you make me sick. I can't believe you do that. Stealing stuff. It belongs to other people. You're nothing but a common criminal. Don't even come around me. Okay? There's one way to handle it. You're a parent. You're finding your kid's a klepto. You know, you do it the same way. Man, just get out of my house. Okay? But there's another way to handle it. Terry, what you're doing is wrong. But I still love you. You see the difference?
Sure.
What you're doing is wrong. It's gonna bring bad things in your life. You can't stay on this road. It's gonna be your destruction. And you know, God is there to pick you up from that if you'll just trust Him to help you with it, and get help and let me help you get help. Okay, there's another scenario. And then there's a third one, and this one's becoming all too common in all aspects of people having problems that need to be addressed. Oh, honey, you just stay here at home. It's okay. If that's what you do, you do. I'm not going to get in your business. And if you get in trouble, I'll try to help you. You know what I mean? The babying.
Yeah.
Not admitting. No, Terry doesn't steal. Terry doesn't. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And we see a lot of that. The people that won't admit their kids are dabbling in things they shouldn't. The people that keep making excuses, keep bailing them out. You know, it's funny. My mom loved me dearly. And I mean, she really loved her children dearly. But, you know, she was the first one, and I've said it before on this show, that she said, honey, I love you, but you ever get put in jail, don't call me. She was serious.
My mom was that way.
Yeah, yeah, but not only, you know, she couldn't afford to help me anyway. But even if she could, she wouldn't have.
Right.
She wouldn't have.
Right.
She said, you know, if you ever get put in jail, she said, you know, you got to stand on your own two feet, and you got to learn that you know, there's no safety net for you to do bad things. And I think we've created such a safety net for people to do bad things. I look today out there, and you know, all the grandparents raising children. They're their grandchildren, and because they've made that safety net so huge for their kids that they've enabled them to the point they've even taken on their children. while they continue to do the same stuff they're doing. And I applaud you grandparents for taking care of those children. But at some point, there has to be consequences for what the kids are doing, too, and the continuation of them. You need to turn off the financial spigot to them, for one. That's a huge one. You know, we've created a situation today, Terry, where nobody can hit rock bottom. We used to talk about hitting rock bottom. I've had a lot of people tell me in the past, you know, I never came to know the Lord and never even thought about Christ until I hit rock bottom. Well, we've created a scenario today where no one's hitting rock bottom. There's so many safety nets out there to pick you up, places to stay, things to eat, places to get clothes. Rock bottom in my thought process growing up was that you're done. You've got no job, you got no money, you got no place to lay your head, you've got nobody supporting you to help you. Oops, now what do I do? And there's only one thing you can do from that point. Either lay there and die, or get up and move. And the only way people are going to get up and move is if they have that choice. But if they're down there and they're halfway in a reclined position and you keep feeding them and making excuses for them, they're never going to get up. So you're really adding to their problem.
I was just laughing thinking about that and handing them the TV remote.
And hand them the remote at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're exactly right. I just think that when you look around now, I mean, I think that's become more of a problem now than what, 20, 30 years, you know, I mean, would you?
20, 30 years ago? Yeah. You know, it started getting bad about 20 years ago, I think, 20, 30, 40 years ago, maybe. I know that when I grew up, when I graduated from high school, which was almost 1980.
Okay.
You know, you didn't see kids staying at home. Our big thing back then was, you could probably remember this. Our big thing back then was, if you had nothing else to do, you went in the armed services.
Yeah.
That's what people did.
Yeah. Well, to kind of piggyback on your point there, and you would probably know this better, you know, growing up around Columbus or whatever, is I've talked to some people here lately at work. And one of the big things, there's a guy who buys and flips homes, you know, or stuff, and I talked to him, and he said he's been buying a lot of them very cheap because a lot of people around Worthington, around the golf course area, they've rode mom and dad's coattails so long that now they don't have a job and they can't afford the taxes on them.
Isn't that something?
Because mom and dad took care of them.
Yeah, that's something else, isn't
it? And they get 35, 40 years old, now they got no...
Kind of weird.
You know, when mom and dad passes, and now they got...
I just wish that we could get some of our parents to understand that they're not doing their kids any favors. They're really not. And we leave that door open for, you know, the substance abuse situation, you know, well.
Yeah.
And that's another thing, you know, I understand it's tough. Addiction's not easy. But part of the problem, too, I think, in this culture is that we've made addiction so acceptable. It's now a sickness. It's not your fault. It's a sickness. Well, I would agree it's a sickness, but it's a self-imposed one, right?
Yeah.
If you didn't do the heroin, you're not going to become an addict, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't drink the booze, you're not going to become an alcoholic. I mean, those are self-imposed sicknesses, and we seem to be pouring more resources into them than we are some of the sicknesses where people are actually have things that were of no doing of their own. But what I'm getting at with that, and I don't want, that's not the debate I wanted to get into, but what I'm saying is that the only way that people are going to see that, man, I don't want to go down that path, is to see that it's real ugly. And we're trying to take so much of the ugly away from this stuff that, you know, I look at kids now that say, you know, well, heroin's not so bad. You know, I know guys have been doing it for 20 years. And it's kind of like, yeah, well, you know, that's only because are they really living or are they just living to get high? And that's the question you have to ask.
Yeah.
Is that any quality of life,
no,
living?
No.
You know, I've talked to a lot of heroin addicts that tell me that when they get up in the morning, the very first thing they do was, as soon as they open their eyes, the first thought that comes to their mind is, how am I going to get high today? before anything else.
Their first thought.
And that is the major thought for the day is, how am I going to get high? Where am I going to get the money? And how am I going to get high? And until they figure that out, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. And that's why you see the people selling the kids' toys and the clothes and the, and you see the scams that are pulled and the things that are being done. You know, I don't think that when it comes down to it, I think a lot of, they don't want to do that. I mean, they don't want to sell their kids' toys and their kid, but it's the first thing, the most important thing in their life is getting that bump, getting that high. Mm-hmm. And they'll tell you that. I've talked to so many and worked with them in Celebrate Recovery, and, you know, every one of them says the same thing. So I'm not just making that up. I mean, this is something that all addicts will admit, that, yeah, that's the most important thing in my life. And you know, we used to deal with alcoholism as a major problem in our, and the main problem. Now there's so many different addictions out there, and stuff being available to people, that it has just made it unbelievably hard, unbelievably. I firmly believe that with heroin, the only hope of getting away from it has to be through God, because it's so hard to kick. It breaks my heart. I've seen so many people that have gone a period of time and kicked it, and then they come right back and hit it again and die.
Well, I mean, like, what gets me, and I'm saying this from a personal standpoint, because I had a family member who passed from an addiction. So I'm speaking this, you know, I mean, this stuff doesn't care who you are.
No. That's funny you mentioned that. I was just having this conversation with my daughter, Holly.
I mean, it took my nephew.
It does not discriminate.
It doesn't.
It doesn't matter how rich you
Absolutely.
Are, how poor you are, how
Absolutely.
Smart you are,
yes.
how slow you are. It's going to do
this
the same.
This kid had the world, and he gave it all up. Two beautiful children he left behind. And
How many times, Terry, do you see that on people? You think, wow, they had it all. Well, they didn't have it all, and they had that. And I firmly believe that the only one thing that can save you at that point is Jesus Christ. And wholly devoting your life to him, he's the only hope of people that are doing it. That is why, you know, it's kind of interesting that if you look at the programs out there that work,
mm-hmm.
whether it's alcoholism, whether it's drug addiction, whatever it is, the only ones that, and even marriage programs, the only ones that seem to really work are true faith-based programs that have the higher percentage of working. Why is that? Because God's involved in their life. You know what I mean? It's not a bunch of emptiness. You know, when I leave a room full of people that I'm talking with that are, say I'm having a meeting and I'm having a good time and we're talking about positive things and getting things off our chest and whatnot, when a typical person leaves a meeting, they're alone. When I leave a meeting, I walk away with Christ. I never walk away alone.
Uh-huh.
And that's the whole point. You know, heroin addicts can't be alone. Walk away with Christ, you never will be alone.
Yeah.
And I know to them, if any of them are listening right now, they're going to say, oh, that sounds so simplistic. It is, but it's also true. But you've got to be willing to say enough's enough.
So at some point, you have to make a little sacrifice. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think.
You know, one of the biggest problems, I used to sit on the opiate task force in Marion and Crawford counties.
Okay.
And we had some real good discussions there. And it was with the Adam H. Board. You're familiar with that. But, you know, we talked about the thing is people have to, if you're really serious about kicking an addiction, you've got to leave your family. And what I mean by that is not your children. I don't mean that. I don't mean your spouse. Unless they're an addict and want to leave with you. But you have to get away from the people that pull you back to that. And the biggest problem is people can go to prison or rehab or whatever it is. When they get out, they go right back home to the same people that got them high in the first place.
That's what got my nephew.
I've got a friend that works in one of the prisons that was telling me about some of the people that, that'll just have the highest hopes in the world. You know, I'm clean, I'm not touching that stuff, blah, 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 blah. And one particular case he was telling me, on the way home from parole, a friend that picked him up got him high and he died. I mean, come on. I mean, this is the pull those people have. Now, on the other side of that, I also know a person that struggled with opioids very, very much. And they went through rehab, and then they went to the other coast of the United States. And I don't remember where they had family or what they had there, extended family, but they started a new life. And they got clean. And they got new habits. And several years later, they were able to come back to the general area they lived in, were fine. But the temptation's so heavy. And it comes back just screaming your name. You know, and it's so hard. People have to decide. This is why I really am very skeptical of what they call outpatient.
Treatment.
Yeah. I'm very skeptical of it, and I'll tell you why. Some people won't agree with me. The reason is because when you're in outpatient therapy, you're still seeing those people you saw all the time. All those triggers are there. Every one of those triggers are still there. You're accessible to the people that you got drugs from before. They know where you're at. And several years ago, there was someone that wanted us to, as a church, to step in and help with one of these programs. I said no. I said, first of all, the people in the church are not trained to deal with those people.
See, I remember you telling me, I loved that answer. You said that, yeah.
They're not trained to. And the main reason is, I firmly believe that if you really want to get clean, you will commit yourself to a long-term facility, even if you have to be away from your friends, your family, whatever the case is. Look, they're going to lose you anyway. You know what I mean? People are afraid, you know, I can't go into this treatment facility because, you know, what if, you know, I've heard it before, what if my old lady leaves while I'm in there? You know, well, what if she does? She's going to leave anyway. You're going to lose her anyway. I mean, if you keep this up, right. You know, what if I lose my kids? Well, you know what? The only chance you have of keeping your kids long term is being clean and on your feet. You're going to lose them anyway, and you may take them down with you. So my thinking is, if you truly want to get clean, you go to your family and you say, look, here's the deal. I've got to do this. You know, I'm not supporting you anyway. I'm spending all the money that I make on drugs. You know, I am sure that they could get some type of ADC when you go into that rehab for that period of time. They'd be glad to help them with that because that person's not there as an income provider, which they didn't provide anyway because everything they got was going to drugs. And say, you know what, I've got to get out of here for a year. I got to get out of here for a year and a half. And when I get clean, I'm going to get a hold of you and we're going to find a place to live where we can live as a family and be clean away from my family and away from yours, if indeed that's what's causing the problem. Because I've seen it over and over again. I've even seen parents that will I know a young lady personally that her own mother sold her for sex so she could get high when she was a teenager. And now the daughter is a total mess. She's an addict too. But you know, get away from them. Get away from them. You know, find people that truly care about you. They're out there. A lot of them go to our church, and they go to other churches. Find people that care about you. Start coming to church. People will help you get plugged in somewhere. Doesn't mean they're going to be there, the counselor that helps you. But you know what? And then there's always the divine counselor, Jesus Christ, you can learn to lean on and trust and understand that he loves you. And, you know, he made you for a purpose. He created all of us for a purpose. And it was not to stick a needle in our arm. And I've always said this, you know, as long as you're breathing, there's hope. But you got to make that decision. Now, because you chose heroin, you chose one of the hardest roads to go down and one of the hardest roads to get off of. You know what I mean? It's like trying to get off a freeway exit when it's a sheet of ice. You know, it's just tough to get off of it. But you can. What's your alternative? Death? You know, I don't want to die without Christ. I don't want to die. I don't want to. What kind of a legacy are you leaving for your kids with drugs? I also know middle-aged parents that, you know, this is something I don't get either, Terry. I know people that are in their 30s and 40s. I even know someone in their 60s that started doing drugs. Blows me away. Why? And you see them, their lives are destroyed. You know, one minute you have a parent that is like everyone else's parent, you know, coming to the school, showing up, doing things, all that, you know, PTA, whatever, you know. And then next thing you know, they're in jail. And it's what has gotten into our culture. I think the godlessness of our culture is just really coming through. I think we're on a real slippery slope. We truly are. And there's a lot of people out there beating the bushes trying to help. I was yesterday at a Gideon luncheon in Waldo for Delaware and Marion County Gideon site. I used to belong to the Delaware Gideon camp and for a long time. And when I became a pastor, I couldn't do it because you can't be a pastor and be a Gideon. It's for businessmen. But it's they're non-denominational, and they don't want that denominational influence. So you have to now we support each other, and they come to our churches and speak. But you know, they're out there. I think this last year they passed out 600 Bibles at Ohio Wesleyan. You know, that's a battle. That's something that, you know, whether you agree with that or not, they're out there on the front lines showing people, look, here's something that can help you. And it's got the helps inside the cover, how to find Jesus. You know, they're doing something, and they're pouring their heart into it. And I think that we all need to do something. I can't make you make a decision, but I can give you the tools to help you make that decision. Does that make sense? Mm. So I really like the and you know, there's so many other people and associations doing these kind of things, helping people for a reason. I don't think that people often understand that when the church helps people, be it, as you know, with our church, we do a lot of clothing, food, a lot of food.
Yes.
And those things, we're not a social agency to the point that that's all we're doing is providing physical things to sustain them.
That's what I was going to ask. Like if somebody would come in there, I mean, you guys give them a message too, right? I mean, pretty much whenever they come into, I mean, do you always try to give them?
I always do.
Like some sort of message before they leave. I know you do around Christmas time. You always say, but that's what I'm saying. I guess, is it the same? Like if they come in for clothing, you always try to give them a positive, encouraging.
Oh, well, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
I mean, yeah.
You know, everything we do is, you know, when I was in school several years ago, David Wheeler, who was a teacher I had, professor, said, you know, he said, when you guys are in your own church, he said, whenever a program comes up, no matter what it is, whether it's outreach or youth or whatever you want to do, if there isn't a gospel focus to it on leading people to Christ, don't do it. Don't do it, because that's what you're there to do.
Right, right.
And it is what we're there to do.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like you take a moment of prayer. Well, you see what I'm saying? Like if they come in to get clothing, do you take a moment of prayer, you know, or if they want it, or do you ask?
Absolutely. I'm going to invite them to church. I'm going to.
I thought so, but
I just want people to understand, you know, the church is not your typical, like people in need, for instance. Mm-hmm. That's a social place you go into. It's not a church. People should understand that a church is a church. We have our allegiance is to Jesus Christ and to God Almighty.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And that's where we're going to we desire for you to understand that and to know Him. Right. You know, that's the whole point. The best way, if you're going to get people healthy, give them that life that's going to help them to be healthy. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to start with there's so many programs out there. There's Christian Job Corps ministries that teach people skills. There's just a lot of different stuff out there. But they are – the reason they're Christian-based is for that reason. I know the Salvation Army has always been a great one for years. And, you know, it's kind of really interesting, you know, the name Salvation Army. It's because they taught salvation and promoted salvation in Jesus Christ. But even they today, you know, because of the massive amount of public assistance they take in, they don't say much to people unless they're asked. And about the church, about, you know, they do have a church people can attend, a Salvation Army church, but it's you know, we're constantly having groups they're always trying to hamstring you so you can't talk about Jesus. And what good, let me ask you a question, Terry.
Yeah.
What good has it done the United States of America for all this nobody can talk about God or Jesus? Hadn't done us a bit of good, has it?
Not a lick of good, yeah.
As a society, we're certainly not better for it. We're worse.
Yeah.
You know, we have a suicide rate that we never had before. Never even used to count the youth suicide. Kids didn't kill themselves. They had a whole life ahead of them. Yeah. Now it's horrible. We have everything is off the charts, if you really think. Abuse. You know, I get a kick out of when people talk about, well, you know, before women's rights, women were just abused. Baloney. Today's when they're abused. It's hard to find a young man today that respects a woman. I'm sure abuse went on back then, but not like it is today. Women were held up as something special, and you loved your wife. And today, it's, you know, these got people jump in and out of relationships like nobody's business. There's no respect and love in that. There really isn't. And it's because there's no God in it. You know, you can't say that you believe in God and follow his laws and his statutes and the things that he says about love and life and putting others first and be someone that's out there doing all these evil, wicked things. Light and darkness can't be in the same place. Think about it. If it's dark and lightness enters, then dark becomes light, right? If your light and darkness comes in, the darkness shuts out. You see, it's got to be one or the other. Mm-hmm. So if you've got God in your life and you're listening to what he's saying, there's no room for that darkness and that wicked, evil garbage that causes all the addictions and divorces and all that stuff. But if you're not living that way, if you don't have God in your life, it's a free-for-all, man. It's a free-for-all. You know, whatever goes, goes. Whatever makes me feel good at the moment. Because I sure don't feel good most any other time. And that's how people feel. You know, how am I being treated? How do I feel? You know, rather than like, you know, the Bible tells us to love others first and then ourselves, to always put others before ourselves. Well, Terry, if you're my friend and I put you before me, wouldn't that be wonderful? It'd make me feel great, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember what I said when the show started tonight? If you're full of yourself, there's no room for anyone else. When you're not full of yourself, you have all kinds of people that love you in your life. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, what the Bible teaches us to do. That there's a method to this. See, there really is.
Yeah.
And for as many people that call Christianity meanness, foolishness, hate, people are actually calling Christianity a hate, Christians a haters and a hate group. And I'm thinking, have you lost your minds? Obviously, you've never even looked to see what it truly is. And you don't understand or know the God that I do. And don't know the love that he's put in my heart for other people. And that's what he does. Just because there's some clowns out there spewing loud, crazy hate that call themselves Christians doesn't make them a Christian, right? People can call themselves all kinds. I see them every day. I see all these guys running around in cowboy boots and cowboy hats with big buckles. They're not cowboys. Huh? You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just what they're wearing.
Yeah.
But they're not cowboys. I used to have a friend that used to always, he was a in a biker club and wore all the Harley stuff and whatnot. And you'd see all these guys that wore this stuff. But they didn't own a bike. They called those sidewalk commandos. But the point is, just because you call yourself a Christian, and you have the bumper sticker that says, you know, follow me to blah, 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 or you listen to 104.9 or whatever you do does not make you a loving Christian. The only thing that's going to make you a Christian is accepting Jesus Christ as a gift of salvation and then asking him to indwell your life and to live and walk with him and study his word and have a spirit live drawn life that you can draw this love from and you can draw these things from. And then you can have that love and compassion that's necessary. But you know, if even these poor people that are addicts, if they go out and they're in a situation where I'm going to go to church, maybe I'll get better. Going to church isn't going to solve your problem. Coming to a church where you're going to hear about Jesus Christ and follow him is. There's a lot of churches that are nothing more than noise. And that's part of our problem too. We have to go to the real thing. And you know, I believe at Communion Christian Fellowship, we're the real thing. You know, we're Bible teaching, Bible believing, and Bible obedient. We better be Bible obedient anyway. We try to. We try to. No one's perfect. You're right.
Right. Yeah.
But we do love people there. Hey, our address again is 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Love to have you come. We are a very welcoming, warm group of people. I jokingly call us the Heinz 57 because we're just from all walks of life, and we're from different backgrounds and denominations, and nobody dresses the same. It's not a cookie cutter church, I can promise you. The music's even not the same. Anyway, you love it. We're a welcoming group, and we love people. And you know, bring your problems, come along. We'll get you cleaned up. Well, we won't. God will. We'll direct you and help you. I enjoy you guys listening. Keep it up. Pass this around. You can share this. It's shareable. And the Pastor Spot on Facebook. So.
And don't forget, it streams every week.
It streams every week.
You're listening to WWGH Radio, LP, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. From legendary talk show host, actor, broadcaster.